Good morning, everyone. You have your Bibles this morning. We're going to be doing a study from 1 Peter. In the back of your, towards the back of your Bible, back towards the Revelations, almost near the end, you'll find two books there, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And we're going to be reading to you from 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be reading from chapter 1 of 1 Peter, from verse 1 to verse 13. And we'll be discussing some points here. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Everybody say precious promises if you're a Christian. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and self-control preservance, to preservance, to preserve godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, for all of these things are yours, and abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful. All these things are in you. I'm reading from the Amplified New Testament. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent or this body, to stir you up by reminding you. So this morning I'm going to stir you up, hopefully, by the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. He'll do the stirring, right? Because we're in a busy world. All kinds of things are going on. Trying to pay bills, trying to work, trying to take care of children, grandchildren, husbands, wives, all of the circumstances of life that we all are so involved in. And that really takes up just about all of our time, right? And so it's necessary, very necessary, that we be diligent to make our calling and election sure, and to know where we stand in our relationship with God, and to develop a relationship with God that allows His presence in us, and us being in His presence and working with Him and cooperating with Him, so that we'll know that He is in us and that we are in Him. And when we do that, all of these things that He just mentioned here, and we'll go through them again in just a second, but for a minute or so, all of these things would be the best thing that ever happened to any of us. Because as we develop that relationship with God on a day-to-day basis, not just going to church or having religion and just going to church ever so often, but having and developing a daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, He becomes our best friend. And every day that we get up, the first thing we do is we thank Him, Lord, thank You for this day. This is the day You've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in You. Help me to walk with You. Help me to know Your presence. Help me to experience the reality of Your love and Your forgiveness and Your mercy. I want to have a fellowship with You because I love You and You love me, and I love You because You first love me. Amen. There isn't that we don't live until we be recipients of His love. We don't really understand what love is. And the Bible tells us to grow in the love and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We grow in that. And I've been studying and preaching and teaching this word for, I don't know, 50, 60 years. It's been a long time. And I'm still growing. I'm still studying it. I still meditate on it. And I understand more now than I ever did that He is the best friend that I've ever had in my life. And I'm so glad He is. Because while I did have to make a choice for Him to be in my life, I didn't choose Him. He chose me. And you didn't choose Him either. He chose you. Amen? He chose you. Isn't that? I mean, that's just absolutely what blows my mind. That He would choose somebody like me. Because y'all don't know what I've been in my past. And I don't want to spend time, because I'd have to leave here if I started talking about about my past. Oh, Lord. I don't even want to think about some of the things I did in my past. Even after, and I say my past, even some things that I have done after I become a Christian. I've had pride. I've had lust. I've had greed. I've had anger. I've said things that I shouldn't said. I've thought things that I shouldn't thought. Wow. I'm not as good dude as you think I am. And none of us are. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you say, well, how do you know that God chose me? Well, because He said He did. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son for all of the sins, everybody's sins in the whole world. When Jesus died and was buried, He bore, the Bible says, He bore our sins in His body on the cross. He died in our place, shed his blood, was buried in our place, and was resurrected so that we could have that same experience in our spirit. Amen? And that's what this is all about, and I just want you to understand that going forward, that this is the most important message that we will ever hear in all of our times, or time. Paul said he's a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, we can't all be apostles. But he was a bondservant because when God chose him, he decided he was going to make himself a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of his life. And so that's what he was. And also, he's an apostle, which means he's been chosen to be an apostle by Jesus Christ. And so he's writing this, First Peter chapter 1, verse 1, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Faith, the Bible tells us, in Hebrews 11, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I've had people over the years ask me, Brother Lewis, how do you get faith? How do we increase our faith? I need more faith. Get into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, reading, and studying the Word. This, folks, we can't take our relationship with the Lord lightly. It needs to be the number one priority in our lives, every one of us. It needs to be our number one priority. The reason for that is it because we have so many things in our lives, as I just mentioned, and I'm not going to mention them all again, that we go through in our everyday-to-day lives that keep our minds so preoccupied. If we don't try to do our best to keep our minds focused on Christ, it's going to be a very difficult thing for us to get along in life. And you say, well, how do you do that? I've had people ask me this. How do I keep my mind focused on Christ and have my mind and have all these other things going on in my mind? You ever wonder that? I've had people ask me that. Because we're a spirit being and we live in a spirit body. We just know on the inside of us that He's with us. That He will never leave us nor forsake us. That He is our Heavenly Father because we have been born of His Spirit and our bodies have become the habitation of God through His Spirit. And we can talk to Him when we're driving down the road, washing dishes, cleaning, vacuuming the floor, or whatever we're doing. We can speak, we can have a song or a prayer going on inside of us all of the time if we want to. And I suggest we do. I wake up in the morning and find myself, before I even consciously think about it, I'm singing a praise to the Lord. Because I've developed that over my years. When I got distracted and I've worked basically all my life. I work for Berry Contracting, Golston Engineering, Golston Contracting. I've ran jobs in refineries, been superintendent over welders and pipe fitters and boiler makers and structural steel and laborers and all. I've done all of that for years. But I've also preached for years.
and done all of that.
As a matter of fact, when I come on the job in some cases, I remember one time they called me to a job, and I was working for Golson. I was working for myself at that time. I'd gone in business for myself as an inspector. Golson called me and said, "Do you want to go to work?" I said, "Yeah. Well, we're building a new refinery, Interstate 37, Champlin Refinery, the North Refinery, and we need you out there. Would you like to come to work for us?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." When they first called me, I said, "I'm just leaving Golson. I've only given my 2 weeks' notice. I've gone in business for myself. Do you have anybody? Have you hired any people yet? Do you have anybody working for you in your business?" And I said, "Well, my brother-in-law, Gary Morris, he'd been out at Reynolds Metals Company out here at Sherwin Plant for 10 or 12 years, had a retirement and everything else. I lived two doors down from him, or three. He came down the street when he said I heard go in business. He heard I had gone into business. He came down the street and said, 'Brother Lewis, I want to go to work for you.'" I said, "Gary, I'm just getting started. You have retirement, you have insurance, you have all of those things out there. I don't have nothing. I'm going to work for you." So when those people called me and said, "Do you have anybody?" I said, "Well, I have a brother-in-law that he's coming to work for me. Well, send him out here." He went to work. Just as soon as he quit his job there, he went to work for me out at a refinery. And as soon as I got my 2 weeks' notice gone, I went to work at a refinery and traveled to Virginia and traveled all over the place. Buffalo, New York, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Scranton, Pennsylvania. I was getting up every Monday morning, getting on a plane and flying away and leaving my family, which I didn't like to do. But that was my business. I made good money. Real good money. That's why I have a savings account that's dwindling. But God is good. And that's what I'm telling you. If I've done all of that and pastored a church, done visitation, talked to people and tried to help them with their problems, and one of the reasons probably while I'm not out of touch with reality. I'm having to be out there making a job and making a living just like they are, so that I can understand where they are. And I'm touched by the feelings of their infirmities, and I need God to help me to help them and encourage, like I'm doing, trying to do this morning. I'm not up here just so I can preach and show somebody I'm a preacher or teacher. I'm here, and I don't even get up and preach and teach unless God tells me, where do you want me to go? What do you want us to hear this morning? Because I'm not using any notes, if you'll notice. I'm just using Scripture. And I'm just talking from my heart because I want you to understand I am where you are and you're where I am, and there's no difference between us just because they call me a preacher. I have to live the same way. I have to walk by faith. I have to trust the Lord. And I've learned that I can How many of you learned that in everything in your life, your family, your children, your finances, your job, everything in your life, God knows about and He has the ability to be able to help you? How many of you know that? You need to know that. You need to understand that. My son asked me last night, sometime in the evening right before we went to bed, "Dad, do you know what you're going to preach on tomorrow?" I said, "I don't have the foggiest idea." And generally, sometimes he will give us something to say so we'll know. Well, this morning I got up. He said, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 1 through 13. So I copied it on a piece of paper. That's all I have, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. I guess we better get with it or I'm not going to get through it. So, Peter was a bondservant. I hope that I am. And I'm speaking to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. And you see in verse 1, the little word, by. How do we have that faith? It's by or through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can have faith. By the righteousness. The Bible tells us that we're none righteous, no, not one. It also tells us that we are those of us who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. So He becomes our righteousness. That's why, and I don't want somebody to take this, because some people that are not don't have a whole lot of sense will take this, what I'm about to say, and just go and say, well, I can just live any way I want to live. Well, you can after you become a Christian. But the matter of fact is the way you want to live has completely changed because you're a new creation. We're a new creation in Christ. And we don't want to no longer just live to please ourselves. We want to live to please Him and maintain our relationship with Him. Because we understand that He's the only one that can give us peace and joy and the happiness in the midst of all of the circumstances that we go through in this life. And that's what He wants to be, your best friend. Not just somebody you believe in, put your trust in, but your best friend. You can talk to Him about anything. You say about anything, I said anything. And He does too. And so he says in verse 2, grace and peace. How many of us need grace? That's God's unearned, undeserved forgiveness. How many of us need peace? Amen? How many of you in your life need that peace of God that passes all understanding? The Bible says that the peace of God fills our hearts. Amen? Amen? We need that peace that it passes all understanding. I've had people even ask me on the job where I was working, how in the world, knowing our circumstances, because we all talk about our problems from time to time, right? Knowing our circumstances and the situations that we're going through, have asked me, how can you have peace in the midst of this storm that you're going through right now? It's the peace of God passes all understanding. We don't understand it. We can't understand it. Don't even try to understand it. Just receive it. Amen? And as that's the peace that God gives us. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding. We can't figure it out. Why do I have peace when I'm going through this situation? It's Him. Grace and peace, and God in His Word right here, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. And where does that come from? It's the grace and peace that's multiplied to us in and through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Developing a relationship with Him is where is His grace and His peace is multiplied to us. You have something that's bothering you right now? Who doesn't? Yeah, Bills, you have this going on, this, that problem. You have teenagers. You have all these circumstances and situations. The Bible says that because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that because He is our righteousness, not because we're righteous, but because He's righteousness, and He's given us His righteousness, we can cast all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Not only does He care for you, He cares for everything and anything that is affecting our lives and our minds and our circumstances. And we can pray to Him and cast all of our cares upon Him. When we cast all of our cares upon Him, we know He cares for us. Then we can have patience and wait for Him. Sometimes we cast our cares upon Him. And pray. How do you do that? Well, what's bothering you? Well, my finances. Cast that on God. Cast your cares on Him. He cares for you. You're one of His children. Amen. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, which I'm preaching to us this morning. Amen. So we're to grow in that grace and knowledge of our Savior. Boy, I needed this. This is good stuff. Verse 3, 1 Peter 1. As His divine power has given to us, everybody say all things. Well, what is the all things? What does it mean, all things? It says everything that is in our lives that pertains to life and godliness. He's given that to us. His divine power is given us. But where do we understand that? Through the knowledge of Him. Amen. That is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge of Him. So as we develop our relationship with Him and come to know Him better and get to realize and understand how much He knows us. Through the knowledge of Him who, God, called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4, by which have been given to us. It's been given to you. Now, boy, if you had money, say, just by a miracle, I inherited $20 million. Whew. And I know every one of you personally, and I know where you bank. So I go down and put $1 million in each of your banking accounts because I love you. But you don't realize it's there. Are you with me? You don't have the benefit of it because you don't even know it's there. And God is saying, He's by His grace, He's given us all of those things that pertain to life and godliness, and we don't even know it's there. If we knew it was there, we could take advantage of it. Amen? And our needs would all be supplied. Maybe not in the instant that we need them. I've seen some people say, well, I prayed 9 months ago for this to happen and it still hasn't happened. I just guess God doesn't care for me. Well, sometimes, have you ever heard and read in the Bible the trial of your faith? What does it say about it? It's more precious than gold that is tried by fire. Your patience is going to be tried. And after 2 months or a month or whatever, however long it is that we're in these situations and we're asking God to take care of them, we need to understand I believe you. I trust you. You're going to take care of it. I've got to have let patience have its perfect work in my life, because patience is increasing my faith and building my faith and strengthening me and encouraging me. And when it does come, I'm already rejoicing because I know it's going to come because you said it was going to come. Amen? And I'm trusting you. How do you know you're saved? You're trusting Him. If we can't trust Him, we can't trust anybody, much less ourselves. Amen? Man. I don't know if I'll ever finish this sermon. Verse 4, by which have been given to us, amen, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, you see, we have to get the promise. You with me? It's through the promise that we can trust God. So what has God promised His children? Well, I don't know. Well, then you can't have the benefit of it if you don't know what it is, because you can't trust Him with that. Are you with me? Through these promises, verse 4, that you may be partakers of the divine nature. So we have the divine nature in us, and we're partakers of that divine nature, which our body is the habitation of, putting it another way, our body is the habitation of God through the Spirit. And we have, verse 4, we have, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've escaped it. Amen? Facing a temptation. I don't have to accept this temptation. I've escaped through Christ. I have escaped this temptation. Get behind me. I don't allow you to worry me in this area. I don't allow you to frustrate me in this area. I don't allow you to cheat me in this area. Get behind. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. James chapter 4. How many of us do that? That's something we have to do. He's not going to flee from us until we resist Him. Are you with me this morning? I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. I have to do this. If I don't resist Him, He won't flee from me. But when I do resist Him, He has to go because God said so. Amen? Verse 5, I'm in hurry. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. So this is, you have to give diligence. You can't take this casually or carelessly. You have to give all diligence. This is what it says, giving all diligence. And add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And I went and looked up all these, and so I advise you to, because I don't have time to go into each one of these. But virtue is morality, and value, and to virtue knowledge, to the knowledge self-control, to verse 6, to self-control add perseverance, to perseverance add godliness, to godliness add verse 7, to godliness add brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add love. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Well, listen to verse 8, if you have or if you haven't. For if these things are yours, are in you, and abound, not just Adam, but let them abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, for he who lacks these things, if we don't do what the Word of God tells us to do, and we lack these things, the Bible says we're short-sighted. And some of us, even to the point of blindness. And I've had a lot of people come to me over my years and say to me, Christian people that belong to the church, Brother Lewis, how do I know for sure I'm saved? I've had even some of my closest friends, relatives come to me and say, how do I know I'm saved? How do I know I'm sure I'm saved? Well, if you don't do all of these things the Bible is telling you to do, you're short-sighted, even to blindness, and you have forgotten that you are cleansed from your old sins. Running out of time. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Therefore, brethren, verse 10, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure, for if these things be in you and abound, you will never stumble, or whatever you'll have no. So, verse 11, for so an inheritance will be supplied to you abundantly. Did you know that God has supplied his care to you and your abundantly? Abundantly. That doesn't mean just barely get by. It means it's filled up and running over. His grace fills us up and runs us over. Praise God. We'll never stumble. Never stumble. For an inheritance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them. Why? Even though we know them, sometimes we need to be reminded. Amen? I need to be reminded when things are falling apart in my automobile and I don't know how to get it fixed. I don't have the money to get it fixed. I need to be reminded that God says, I'll help you in all things abundantly. And by the way, I guess I should say this. Again, I'm not picking on anybody, because over the years, I've had many, many, many people come and say, need to borrow money, I need this, I need that. I've had eight people this week ask me for money. If I had it, I would give it all away. That's why I turned my everything over to my son and daughter, because they said, Dad, you can't be giving all this money away. I'm retired living on Social Security. I get a little bit of housing allowance from the church and a very small salary. I don't make all the money I used to make. I used to make over $100,000 a year when I was working for companies. I'm not doing that anymore. I want to remind you, like Paul said, always, that these things through you know and that you know and are established in the present truth. I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. So I'm reminding you, because I love you. And I'm reminding you, not your friends, not your neighbors, not the finance companies, not the banks. God is your source. God is your source. And He uses people. And there's no question about that. And people, we need to help people when we can. Amen? Well, that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. I'm glad to help people. And I do my best to. Amen? but I'm not God. Amen. And so there's needs, not just financial needs. There's all kinds of needs. We need peace. We need strength. We need courage. We need faith. We need virtue. We need love. We need forgiveness. We need mercy. God is our source of all of these things, just like he says here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Does he use us? Yes. He'll use you and use you and use you. And sometimes he uses us when we think, in fact, that's probably one of the best acts of faith that you'll ever experience in your life is when somebody wants something or needs something from you, whether it's your time or go do that or go help or counsel a wife or a husband or a church or children or what, when they need something, finances, whatever it is, and you give out of your abundance, you're not giving anything. But when he tells you to give something and you give out of your self in need, then you're giving. Are you with me? And I'm not, again, I'm giving up your time. Some people are very, very lonely out there. Somebody just needs somebody to pick up the phone sometimes and call them and say, hey, oh, I hope you get this. If God puts somebody on your mind sometime, you need to call them. Just call them up. And if you don't have to, you don't say anything except, God put you on my heart. I was thinking about you this morning, and I just want to call you up. Is there any way I can help you? I'm praying for you. Boy, what an encouragement that would be. How many of us really do that? I don't do that enough. I don't do that hardly ever. And I'm ashamed of myself. I think one of the reasons I get so many calls myself, I don't have time to be calling other people and asking them what their problems are. I have enough of them calling me as it is, you know, because that's what happens not just to me, but that's what happens to every pastor and every minister in any church. If he loves people, and if he doesn't, he needs to get behind, get from out of the pulpit and go to work. Amen. Well, I'm going to shut up. Let's everybody stand. I want to thank you all, every one of you. I appreciate your presence. I know Scott and Mary do. We appreciate every time we see you here. We appreciate you being here. And we all love you. We all love one another. We're in probably one of the most loving churches that I've ever been in. Amen. Because we care about one another, and if you're hurting, we care. If you're in financial need, we're not the bank, but we'll whatever we can do. Don't ask us for $1,000 when we can only have a nickel. You know, just say pray for me. I don't, but God does. Amen, and He knows people who do. And he supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory, not ours or yours. Thank you, Father, for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being such a wonderful Father. Thank you for your precious Son and the gift of your blessed Holy Spirit. Thank you for your comfort and your peace as we go through our circumstances and situations of life. Thank you, Father, for being there in us and with us and through us, and taking care of us, that we can cast all of our cares on you, and that you care for us. And we just thank you, Lord, there's been so many wonderful things all through the years of our lives that you've done for us that we maybe sometimes even forgot to thank you. Just thank you for being such a wonderful Father. Thank you for your gift of your Son that made it all possible. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving of yourself totally and completely, even to the death of the cross, that we might be saved. And we might experience your presence and your help and your peace in our lives. We just praise you and thank you, Father, for your blessed Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us in any way. And I know sometimes about the things that we've said and things that we do, that we grieve sometimes your Holy Spirit and quench. Forgive us, Lord, for doing that. Amen.